Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special episode of Famous Failures. It's a special episode because I have a new book coming out. It's titled Think Like a Rocket Scientist: Simple Strategies You Can Use to Make Giant Leaps in Work and Life. In this episode, I'm going to read to you a never-before-released excerpt from the book's introduction. But first, I want to share just a little bit of background with you and explain how you can pre-order the book and get bonuses that, for some categories, are worth 10x the cost of the books. If you want to check them out right away, you can head over to rocketsciencebook.com. I've assumed multiple identities over the course of my life, and one of the identities that I cherish the most is that of a former rocket scientist. I was an astrophysics major in college and worked on the operations team for the 2003 Mars Exploration Rovers project. I've been working on this book for over 2 years now, but in one sense, I've been working on it for my entire life because all of the wisdom, the knowledge, the practical insights I've gathered over the past 37 years of my life are all in this book. And here's the good news. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to think like one. In the book, I reveal 9 simple strategies from rocket science that you can use to make your own giant leaps in work and life, whether it's landing your dream job, accelerating your business, learning a new skill, or creating the next breakthrough product. The book will inspire you to take your own moonshot and enable you to achieve liftoff. I've been ecstatic with the early reviews of the book. I want to just share a few of them with you. Susan Cain, the New York Times bestselling author of Quiet, says, "Thinking like a rocket scientist is not rocket science. Packed with witty writing, insightful advice, and invigorating stories, this must-read book will change the way you see the world and empower you to change the world itself." Adam Grant, who is the New York Times bestselling author of Originals, says that the book is bursting with practical insights. Houston, we have solutions. Daniel Pink, who is the New York Times bestselling author of books like When, Drive, and A Whole New Mind, says, "By the time you finish reading this endlessly fascinating book, your thinking will be bigger, better, and bolder." Julian Guthrie, who is the New York Times bestselling author of How to Make a Spaceship, says, "This book will make you look at the world with a different lens and will help you make your own seemingly crazy moonshot a reality." To celebrate the launch of the book, I compiled a set of amazing pre-order bonuses, which you can find by heading over to rocketsciencebook.com. And if you'd like, you can also just go over to my website, ozanbarol.com, and hit books at the top. I won't go through all the bonuses here because they are listed on the webpage, but importantly, the digital version of the book, if you pre-order any copy, any edition of the book, you can download the digital version right away. So you can read the book now, today, before the book is released to the public. The digital version is available for all devices, including Kindle, Nook, iOS, Android, personal computers, you name it. You might be wondering why I'm running a pre-order campaign. Really, it's for 2 primary reasons. The first is that pre-orders carry enormous weight in book promotion. Major bookstores use pre-order numbers to gauge public interest in the book. And if the pre-order numbers are high, they'll stock more copies of the book, which means more readers will see it. And second, pre-order bonuses are my way of thanking you for supporting this podcast, for supporting my writing, and ensuring that this book will be one of many to come. So if you plan to order the book, please choose to pre-order it. And once again, you can do that by heading over to rocketsciencebook.com. Without further ado, here's a short excerpt from the book's introduction. In September 1962, President John F. Kennedy stood before a packed Rice University stadium and pledged to land a man on the moon and return him safely to the Earth before the decade was out. It was an incredibly ambitious promise, the original moonshot. When Kennedy gave his speech, numerous technological requirements for a moon landing hadn't even been developed. No American astronauts had worked outside a spacecraft. 2 spacecraft had never docked together in space. NASA didn't know whether the lunar surface was sufficiently solid to support a lander, or whether the communication systems would even work on the moon. In the words of one NASA executive, "We didn't even know how to do Earth orbit determination, much less project orbits to the moon." Getting into orbit around the moon, not to mention landing on it, required mind-blowing precision. It was like throwing a dart at a peach 28 feet away and scraping the fuzz without touching the body. And what's more, the peach, which is the moon, would be in rapid motion, darting through space. On re-entry to the Earth, the spacecraft would have to enter the atmosphere at just the right angle, tantamount to locating one particular ridge on a coin of 180 ridges to avoid grinding too hard against the atmosphere and burning to a crisp, or skidding across it like a stone skipping on water. For a politician, Kennedy was surprisingly candid about the challenges ahead. Here's what he said.
"Even though I realize that this is, in some measure, an act of faith and vision, for we do not now know what benefits await us. But if I were to say, my fellow citizens, that we shall send to the moon, 240,000 miles away from the control station in Houston, a giant rocket more than 300 feet tall, the length of this football field, made of new metal alloys, some of which have not yet been invented, capable of standing heat and stresses several times more than have ever been experienced, fitted together with a precision better than the finest watch, carrying all the equipment needed for propulsion, guidance, control, communications, food, and survival, on an untried mission to an unknown celestial body, and then return it safely to Earth, re-entering the atmosphere at speeds of over 25,000 miles per hour, causing heat about half that on the temperature of the sun, almost as hot as it is here today, and do all this, and do all this, and do it right, and do it first. Before this decade is out, then we must be bold."
Yes, even the metals needed to build the rocket hadn't been invented. We jumped into the cosmic void and hoped we would grow wings on the way up. Miraculously, the wings sprouted. In 1969, less than 7 years after Kennedy's pledge, Neil Armstrong took his giant leap for mankind. A child who was 6 years old when the Wright brothers took their first power flight, lasting all of 12 seconds and moving 120 feet, would have been 72 when flight became powerful enough to put a man on the moon and return him safely to the Earth. This giant leap, which was taken within a human lifespan, is often hailed as the triumph of technology. But it's not. Rather, it's the great triumph of a certain thought process rocket scientists use to turn the seemingly impossible into the possible. It's the same thought process that has allowed these scientists to score dozens of interplanetary holes in one, with supersonic spacecraft sending these spacecraft millions of miles through outer space and landing them exactly where they want. It's the same thought process that brings us closer and closer to colonizing other planets and becoming an interplanetary species. And it's the same thought process that will make affordable commercial tourism the new norm. To think like a rocket scientist is to look at the world through a different lens. Rocket scientists imagine the unimaginable and solve the unsolvable. They transform failures into triumphs and constraints into advantages. They view mishaps as solvable puzzles rather than insurmountable roadblocks. They're moved not by blind conviction, but by self-doubt. Their goal is not short-term results, but long-term breakthroughs. They know that the rules aren't set in stone, the default can be altered, and a new path can be forged. In the modern era, rocket science thinking is a necessity. The world is evolving at dizzying speed, and we must continuously evolve with it to keep pace. Although not everybody aspires to calculate things like burn rate coefficients or orbital trajectories, we all encounter complex and unfamiliar problems in our daily lives. Those who can tackle these problems without clear guidelines and with the clock ticking enjoy an extraordinary advantage. Despite its tremendous benefits, we often assume that thinking like a rocket scientist is beyond the ability of mere mortals without a special kind of genius. Hence the common saying, it's not rocket science. We identify with Elton John's Rocket Man, who, despite being selected for a Mars mission, laments about all the science I don't understand. This book will not teach you the science behind rocket science. You won't find any graphs on these pages. No aptitude for crunching numbers is required. Lurking behind the elusive subject of rocket science are life-changing insights on creativity and critical thinking that anyone can acquire. You won't be a rocket scientist by the end of this book, but you'll know how to think like one. I once worked on the operations team for the Mars Exploration Rovers project, which sent two rovers to the Red Planet in 2003. I planned operation scenarios, helped select landing sites, and wrote computer code for snapping photos of Mars. To this day, my rocket science past remains the most interesting part of my resume. During speaking engagements, the person introducing me inevitably says something like, "The most intriguing thing about Ozan is that he used to be a rocket scientist." This produces a collective gasp, and the audience promptly forgets whatever it is I'm there to talk about. And I can tell what many of them are thinking. Talk to us about rocket science instead. Although we glamorize rocket scientists, there's an enormous mismatch between what they've figured out and what the rest of the world does. Critical thinking and creativity don't come natural to us. We're hesitant to think big, reluctant to dance with uncertainty, and afraid of failure. These were necessary features during the Paleolithic age, keeping us safe from things like poisonous foods and predators. But here in the information age, there are bugs. With this book, my goal is to create an army of non-rocket scientists who approach everyday problems as a rocket scientist. You'll take ownership of your life. You'll question assumptions, stereotypes, and established patterns of thinking. Where others see roadblocks, you'll see opportunity to bend reality to your will. You'll approach problems rationally and generate innovative solutions that reimagine the status quo. You'll come equipped with a toolkit that enables you to spot misinformation and pseudoscience. You'll forge new paths and figure out ways to overcome the problems of our future. As business leaders, you'll ask the right questions and use the right set of tools to make decisions. You won't chase trends, adopt the newest fad, or do things simply because your competitors are doing them. You'll explore the edges and accomplish what others thought was impossible. The book is relentlessly practical. It doesn't just preach the benefits of thinking like a rocket scientist. It gives you concrete, actionable strategies for putting that thinking to use, whether you're on the launch pad, in the boardroom, or in your living room. To illustrate how broadly these principles apply, the book weaves gripping anecdotes from rocket science with other illustrations from history, business, politics, and law that exemplify the rocket science mindset. When you learn how to think like a rocket scientist, you won't just change the way you view the world, you'll be empowered to change the world itself. If you're interested in getting the book and grabbing a ton of amazing pre-order bonuses, please head over to rocketsciencebook.com. And thank you, as always, for listening.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening. Two things before you take off. First, if you don't want to miss out on future episodes of Famous Failures, please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on, and be sure to leave a review on iTunes or Google Play. Second, if you'd like to join thousands of others who receive a short email from me each Thursday with a list of articles, books, tools, quotes, and other gems that help you discover how extraordinary thinking produces extraordinary results, you can text my first name, which is Ozan, that's spelled O-Z-A-N, to 345-345. So once again, that's my first name, Ozan, O-Z-A-N, to 345-345. Or if you're in front of your computer, you can head over to ozanvarol.com and drop your email address. If you act now, you'll also get a free ebook called The Contrarian Handbook, 8 Principles to Innovate Your Thinking. As always, thank you for listening, and see you next time.